And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Catch us out on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Thank you for tuning in each and every week and finding out about the amazing programs that our students are tackling throughout our schools right here on Long Island. This week in our spotlight, well, it's a special policymaker edition, and you know, from time to time, we have our state officials come on and kind of give us the lowdown about what's happening in Albany, and more importantly, what's happening in Albany and the impact right here on Long Island. And we are pleased to be joined by New York State Assemblyman Doug Smith, first time on Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Welcome, Doug.
Thanks so much, Bob. I'm so honored to be here. It's great to be here right in the heart of my district, Ronkonkoma, at Long Island MacArthur Airport, to talk about something that for me is probably the most important state topic is education as a former teacher.
Right. And you were a former teacher. And so let's find out about it a little bit. You know, the joke out there, Mr. Smith goes to Albany, right? And we've known each other, you and I, when you were chief of staff for Al Graff. But give our listening audience a little Reader's Digest version of Doug Smith, where, you know, you grew up, how you got into education first, and then why in the world would you get out of education and enter this wacky, wacky world of Albany politics of all places?
I'm a glutton for punishment. So I grew up in this community. I grew up and went to the Sachem School District, which actually you also did.
Yeah, yeah. You graduated a little bit later than I did. We were just talking about that. There's a couple decades between us.
So I'm one of the youngest state lawmakers. I think I'm the youngest Republican in state government. I'm 29. Have a one-year-old baby girl. And
congrats, Dad.
Thank you so much. And my wife and I, fortunately, we own a home in Holbrook, which is, you know, my daughter will go to the same elementary school I went to, Grundy Avenue in, sure, in Sachem. So my background, I decided, and it's important we're talking about this, I had great teachers growing up, and I knew that I wanted to do something that would have a big impact. So I decided to, you know, I graduated Sachem High School, wanted to go to St. Joseph's College. I graduated from there with a degree in mathematics, certified to teach grade 7 through 12. I taught for a little while at Sachem. And then I worked at Brookhaven National Laboratory in the Office of Educational Programs for a little bit. I really enjoyed that. What a great place here on Long Island.
Right, yeah.
One of the largest employers.
Huge resource for our public education system, too.
Completely. And that partnership, they have a great partnership with Stony Brook University. And at that time, a good friend of both of us, Al Graff, who was my immediate predecessor, he had gotten elected as the newly elected state assemblyman. And he had asked me, he said, you know, you're really good on these issues, and I'm on the education committee. I'd like if I could have someone on my staff that could help with that. So he hired me on his staff, originally part-time.
Wow.
And I was teaching night
Nothing
classes.
Was ever part-time with Al Graff anyway.
This is true.
Anybody that knows Al Graff, there was no such thing as part-time, and there was no such thing as quiet or shy.
No, absolutely not. We like to joke about that he was the wallflower, and thank God.
That's a mighty big wallflower, and it kind of like reminds you of, you know, Feed Me, Seymour type of wallflower, right? From Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep. So for 7 years, I served in his office. I became his full-time chief of staff, ultimately, and we took on a number of policy issues. We'll talk about in a little bit. Common Core was one of the biggest issues in state
government.
That's
where we first met, you and I.
That's
right.
During
the Common Core battle, if you will.
And 2014, that was the number one issue on Long Island in education. And then he was elected a district court judge in 2017, and then I said, you know what? I haven't had enough of a beating from this state government thing. And I threw my hat into the ring, and with the support of people in the community, really honored, I won a special election last year in April, and I was elected to represent this district. And I won again re-election in November. So I'm here for until at least 2020.
That's great. And, you know, I often tell people, I mean, your job, and this is no joking around, I mean, it is a grind. I mean, you are up in Albany from January through June. You're in legislative session. And then, of course, you got to do all your constituent work during that time. And then the off season, you still, you know, you're making the rounds and you're doing all but the grind going back to Albany, back and forth. And for those that don't know, legislators, you're normally getting up there on a Sunday evening or a very early Monday, and you're not breaking away during a normal session until like Thursday. And, you know, so talk to us about how you manage that, especially as a young married man, a new father. How do you manage that schedule? Because it really is a tough job, and it is something that I certainly give you guys a lot of credit for. And, you know, somebody like Assemblyman Thiel and Senator LaValle, who's been doing this for years and years and years, it's tough. And Albany's not exactly the exciting place to go, particularly in the winter either.
Oh, yeah. And and it is tough for my family life. It's definitely, you know, public service, and you know probably better than most. You've been on the school board at William Floyd School District for many years, the president of the board, and that's a volunteer position, and you put in so many hours. People have no idea what the work that goes into that. For us, it's a labor of love, and I was actually speaking about some of our colleagues earlier today. Some of them live, you know, we live about 3 hours away. So for me, I do have to go up Sunday night, and then we'll leave Thursday during the day to come home. I mean, my daughter, she's adorable. She's not talking yet. She's starting to walk around. But, I mean, it does break my heart a little bit when I see her. She is happy to see me, and she notices, hey, this guy's been gone for a couple days. Right. You know, that's tough. But I really love what I do, and I do feel it is a public service. You have to love it. You have to have that dedication. But the reason is, so we talk about why would I go from education to education policy in state government. I feel that over the last several decades, significant changes have happened in education that have not been necessarily positive for public education. So I feel that I could be on the front lines fighting some of those and giving a voice to teachers in the classroom and parents and children.
Okay. So in addition to being a new father and doing all the work, you know, up in Albany, what would you say has been your biggest accomplishment to date? I mean, you're young at this, you know, but you're an old soul to the business, I would say, because you were on the front lines with Al, and it seems like you've been around for a long time. So what are something that you look back on in your very brief career as a legislator, or maybe goes back to your chief of staff days? What's something that you're really proud of that you were part of?
Probably three things, actually, that I kind of promised the community I would work on. But, you know, you make promises and you try to accomplish things, and sometimes they do take time. But I was actually very surprised. So the Smart Schools Bond Act, which we could talk about, which was $2 billion approved by the voters in 2014, and that was to go to school security and technology upgrades. The Sachem School District, which I represent, the entire Sachem District, is about 65% of my legislative district.
Huge district.
We had been waiting for 4 years on money, about a little bit more than $11 million to come to the district to make significant security upgrades. So my first priority when I got elected is I said, where is this money and why are we waiting 4 years? So I was very happy. I had to, unfortunately, publicly embarrass the education commissioner, the SUNY chancellor at public hearings, because in lieu of, you know, we live in dangerous times, bad things have happened nationwide, but we want to make sure we have security vestibules, entry management systems. We want to know when people show up to the school building that they're supposed to be there and why they're there. So I was able to get these applications in my district kind of moved up a little bit to make these investments. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to make a very public scene.
Yeah, because what people don't realize, they were being so far delayed that some of the plans that school districts submitted, the technology was now being outdated, and then you'd have to resubmit and go through a whole different process to delay it. So, yeah, you were on the forefront of that, and it just gets back to the bureaucracy up in Albany and having somebody like you to champion and cut through the red tape and seeing what's going on.
So I was very happy. I was able to secure $11 million for the Sachem School District. They just completed installing state-of-the-art security vestibules. So now every school in my district has a security vestibule. You know, many parents said, well, what about, because I also represent the Middle Country School District, Connectquot, and Patrick Medford. And I'll tell you, the Commission of Education, her office called me as soon as this plan was approved, which I was at the meeting. I'm very hands-on, so I attended the meeting when I knew this was coming up to advocate. And her office called up and said, well, great news, we've gotten this plan approved. And I said, that's excellent, but now I'm waiting for $8 million for Middle Country, $2 million for Patrick Medford, $3 million for Connectquot.
What have you done for me lately?
Exactly. And they said, well, we thought you'd be happy. I said, no, I'm thrilled. But the work continues.
You know, it's nice to see that the Al Graff persistence has carried on to his successor here. But that's how you get things done. And it matters in something like safety and security. And no matter how you felt about the Smart School Bond Act, whether it was a good idea or a bad idea, once it's passed, hey, listen, the school districts, you might as well get the money you're entitled to. But then to wait for as long as schools were waiting for, and you know, everybody was pointing fingers, SED, we don't have enough staff, the governor's office, well, he's not authorizing staff. The games that were played back and forth, it seemed to me it was more of a cash flow delay.
Completely. And also, they had this committee that was supposed to meet to approve these plans that consisted of the education commissioner, the SUNY chancellor, and the governor's budget director. I had the SUNY chancellor at in a hearing, and I said, I'm just curious, what's the holdup with this? And she said to me on record, do you mean me or do you mean the city school's chancellor? And I said, oh, my gosh, I think I found the problem. You don't even know you're part of this committee.
Well, that is, you know, that really kind of encapsulates Albany in a nutshell. When we come back from the break, we're continuing our conversation with New York State Assemblyman for the 5th Assembly District, Mr. Doug Smith. And we're going to get into, well, what's coming up in Albany. More importantly, funding mandates, funded or unfunded or underfunded. Funded mandates, that would be a dream. And then what his priorities are for the up-and-coming legislative session and kind of reading the tea leaves as to what happens geopolitically throughout New York State and its impact to the taxpayers and the students and the educators right here on Long Island. You're listening to the Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at LI News Radio. We'll be right back after this. And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, continuing our conversation with New York State Assemblyman for the 5th Assembly District, Mr. Doug Smith. And Doug, we were talking in the first segment a little bit about yourself, how you got involved, and we touched a little bit on some important topics, smart schools. And when it comes to safety and security, let's get into some of the hot topics that schools, school boards, and communities are discussing and talking about quite a bit. And one of the hot topics to kind of segue right out of school security is schools as polling places. And as we know, we now have early voting here in New York. But, you know, listen, every year there's a special election, there's primaries, and some of the schools are polling places. And a lot of people have gotten more and more concerned, particularly because of the political divisiveness that we see in our country and how amped up it's gotten, in my opinion, in a very negative and unnecessary and unfortunate way. But this has really had people thinking, well, you know, polling places, schools, elementary schools, should we have them in our buildings? And I've told people, look, that's where local decision-making and local governance is important because, you know, we have a certain lens here on Long Island. There's a lot of schools in a very compact area. And there's a lot of municipal buildings, other buildings, and maybe alternatives to polling places. But when we start getting up into the northern tier country, some of the most efficient spaces for people to come and vote may be the local schools. So in my opinion, this is kind of a local issue, but you know, this is something obviously being talked about up in Albany, and I know there's been some bills to prohibit schools from being polling places, and I know some associations are really pushing that hard, and I think that's going to be a legislative priority again this coming year. What have you heard up in Albany? What are your thoughts on that whole issue as to whether schools should be polling places or not?
So I feel very optimistic about this. As a teacher, I agree with you. And as someone who now I'm a father and I'm just a generally concerned community member and now the assemblyman, I actually have legislation in that would prevent schools from being used as polling places. I drafted a bill. That was one of the first things I did when I was elected. Fortunately now, I've spoken with a number of my colleagues, and Sandy Galef, who's an assemblywoman upstate New York in Westchester, she has a great bill. It's a bipartisan bill. We've gotten great support, and I think this may be the ultimate bill that passes, and it really nicely lays out the fact that school districts should not be used, school buildings should not be used for polling places. And you mentioned an important thing, because every time we have an election that can't be planned for. So we know there's an election every November. Generally, schools are off that day. They may close. But, for example, my special election last April 24th, we didn't know there was going to be an election until 10 weeks prior. So you're right. Talking about the end of January, the governor calls an election. School districts are not able to prepare for that. So what I had done at that time as just a candidate for public office, I reached out to the Suffolk County Police Department and said, is there a way you can try to secure up? You know, I only have about 36 polling places in my district. It's a lot. You know, it's a relatively large area. But they were able to step up enforcement. But when you're talking about the presidential primaries, again, we don't plan these things well in advance, so when schools are planning their calendars, it's impossible to plan for that.
Right.
We had an incident in the Middle Country School District during the last presidential primary where an angry voter showed up to vote for one of the candidates. He was not – now, in a primary – in that case, you had to be either a registered Democrat or a registered Republican to vote right. In the two primaries. He was not one of those parties. He got so angry, he actually overturned a table. The police had to be called. He left. He actually came back. Thankfully, nothing dangerous happened, but right. That's at an elementary school.
Right.
That's a problem. And to what you're saying, the level of divisiveness and just general angst and anger, it's dangerous. So I would support – I think this – I'm hoping this will be the year that we see this get passed. And like you said, here on Long Island, we do have a lot of alternative locations. Now, many of our libraries and fire departments are already being used.
Right.
But something that I would really point out is there's nothing in the law that says that a polling place must be in a government building or community center. One of our polling places in the town of Islip is the Bayshore Ford.
Right. Wow.
I mean, so the Ford dealership, to be honest, I don't think they're getting additional sales on election day.
Are you sure? Because I could swear there was a scanning voting machine in the back of an F-150, and, you know, you had to talk to the salesman before you could vote. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So what do you say to the critic, though, right? Because surprisingly enough, I think it's best to leave that decision to the local boards of election and the school districts. And I'm going to use my district as an example, but what do you say to the critic that says, well, the schools are kind of being hypocritical because every May they have a vote and they open their buildings and schools in session for their budgets. So why is it okay for school trustee elections and budget votes, but not others? I mean, it's the same security risk now. So what do you say to the critics that say that?
So now a lot of our school districts have legislative committees, and that's actually what the Board of Elections has said. The Board of Elections has come back.
That has been their argument.
Every single school district that said, we want to move voting, and said, well, why don't you start with your voting? And that becomes a tricky issue. You know, right. Something like the Sachem School District, their legislative committee wants to try to get the board votes, the budget vote, to be moved perhaps to the Sachem Public Library. Now, as you mentioned, we want to make it easy for people to vote. And right. In the Sachem district, that's just one of the districts I represent, there are 10 polling places. Right. Obviously, moving them to one polling place isn't as convenient.
Yeah. And some people are going to have to travel a great distance within, because Sachem is one of the largest spread out school districts, certainly on Long Island, and one of the largest in the state.
So that does present an additional challenge on that end. I do think we need the local level. There were additional pieces of legislation and something that my predecessor Al Graff and I discussed, but we brought the idea to our school districts. What it would allow, because as you mentioned, not every school district around the state has buildings that are used for polling places. I would gather that many of them do, but not
right.
everyone.
Right.
So what it would, and again, for a special election, that may only impact once in a while one part of the state even. So there was another piece of legislation proposed that would allow school districts the flexibility where they could declare a, let's say, kind of like a snow day where, you know, you already plan ahead to have a certain amount of days off, where if they felt for security purposes they needed to close schools in one or all of their buildings for a day that may pop up.
Right.
And then they'd either have to make up because, you know, contractually we have a set number of
right.
hours and periods and
it's no longer days. It's actually hours now is
right.
one of the changes. Right?
For instructional time.
Right.
So that now where they might have to make that up, that presented that problem now because
sure.
when we're talking about it's not just the days, it's the
right.
credit hours and things. So that was not really well received because just the logistics of that. I mean, you may end up having to do two extra days by giving, you know, depending on how that breaks down. So that was problematic. And you have the AP exams. We have the Regents exam. So that's not always possible. So I think that getting creative and trying to get the Board of Elections, state and local boards of elections, to look at alternative places. They do have to be handicapped accessible.
Yeah.
And school buildings are, of course, and some of our other local buildings like an Elks Lodge might not be. An American
right.
Legion also may not be. So that's an additional challenge, but for the safety of our kids, and that is the one day a year, not to belabor the point, but we check ID and we want to make sure who is coming and going on an election. You know, a non-custodial parent who might have a student at the school is allowed to vote.
Yep.
So you can't deny them the right to vote. Sex offenders, that's the other issue.
Yep.
They're not allowed within a certain amount of feet from the school. And now recent legislation has allowed them the right to vote if they are on parole, let's say. Now they are able, between a certain period of time, to go to a school and vote. So
right.
these are the problems.
Yeah, they certainly are the problems. So let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about funding for security in our schools. The state sometimes, occasionally, will mandate something from a high and expect schools to carry it out and do it, but the mandate doesn't come with any funding. There's been a lot of advocacy and a lot of concern that as we continue, and rightfully so, to focus on the security of our schools and our campuses and our students, that there's true financial assistance that's needed. It's not the typical education whining, as I would put it, that we need more money just to do something. But there is a true need here. Do you see any changes forthcoming at the state level where that's going to be recognized and maybe a new aid category created?
So that's something that I've brought up to a number of my colleagues, and I know, and you've attended many times, if not every time, the Longwood Legislative Breakfast every year. Great event. I've attended, I think, the last 10 as a staff person, now as an elected member. I think that's the way to go, a reimbursable aid category. So when we issue the state aid from Albany, there's different categories, construction aid, building aid, foundation aid. I think that if that was a reimbursable line, that would help. Now, of course, you can always play games with a budget. You can take money from this pot, put it over here. But I think to put that on the record, being that that's a priority, would be helpful.
That would be a great start. Well, listen, we're continuing our conversation with New York State Assemblyman Doug Smith about educational issues, and there are so many to tackle. Here's the good news, folks. You're going to get to hear Mr. Smith again next week, because we're going to continue our conversation with him in part two, and we're going to get into funding formulas, legislative priorities, and what's his hot topics this coming legislative season. So stick around. Join us again next week. Mr. Smith is going to be right back here at Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. That's your place to go. Suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are involved in, and your district may be the next one right here in our Spotlight. So once again, tune in again next week for part two with New York State Assemblyman Doug Smith. It's all education talk, all educational issues, something near and dear to his heart, and he's a very passionate young assemblyman doing the job up in Albany. This is Bob Vecchio saying thanks for tuning in to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio and linewsradio.com.